finished worshipping the Buddha with the candles and the incense and the flowers. Now please find a seat, because remember this, the meaning of this place. This was the place where the Buddha stayed for many, many rains retreats. The reason why he stayed up here, again, because it was away from the world. Remember who the Buddha was. The person who discovered the way out of samsara, the way beyond rebirth. The way to let go of the greed, hatred and delusion, which signifies and moves the people of the world. And here, having gained enlightenment, he spent so many years up here on this Lotus Peak, meditating and teaching for the happiness and compassion of the whole world. In this place, the Buddha would not have just walked or sat once, but would have sat and walked for months and months and months. And the power of such a being's mind has left the indelible footprint, not the footprint which you see marked in stone, but the footprint which you can only see with your mind. The echo of the Buddha's enlightenment, the echo of the deep states of meditation, which he would have practiced, which was spent much time in, on this peak in which you are now sitting. In this place, the devas are still very, very strong. Just as you have come to worship today, so the devas, for who the Buddha's life was only a day and a half ago, still worship this sacred spot. A spot where the Buddha lived and walked and talked the Dhamma. So please, while you're up here, please treat this with the utmost respect. It's one of the most sacred areas in the whole earth. And with that degree of respect, we can feel the power of this place. In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to meditate. To meditate in your own way to make the mind very peaceful. And to recollect especially the Buddha. One of the 40 kamatanas, the 40 methods of meditation, is Buddhanusati, the recollection of the Buddha. And there's no better place in the whole world than to recollect the Buddha in a place where the Buddha lived and meditated and sat and talked. Because this loneliness, the solitude, the peace of this mountain reflects the solitude, the loftiness and the peace of a Buddha mind. The external reflects the internal, so as you feel the peace of this place, the silence, the solitude, so too you can reflect upon the peace, the silence and solitude of the mind. As you withdraw the mind from the world, as you withdraw the mind from time, of centuries, now and then, who cares, this mountain has stayed the same, so too allow your mind to transcend the time. Transcend all coming and going, so one can be at peace on the peak of this mountain. Coming to the peak, the lofty state is called ekagata, the one pointedness, the one peakedness of mind. And just as this mountain comes to a peak in this place, it comes to a peak in a place of peace and stillness, so to allow your mind to peak in the stillness and the purity of the deep meditations. Just to let go, and the power of this place will take you into that state of stillness. Just abandon all control, just like the Buddha abandoned samsara, abandon the world of coming and going, of birth and death, and of all the doing and controlling which comes in between. See if you can transcend the limitations of your world. To let go of all your possessions, like the Buddha let go of the world to come up here. He was the son of a wealthy person, of even a Raja, but he could let go of all of that to come up to this beautiful peak. And you will find upon this peak there is a peace and a happiness worth much more than all the wealth of the world. The peace of mind, the solitude of the mind, the stillness, where only the wind blows past your ears. You don't know where the wind comes from. You can never follow it to see where it's going. All you know is the wind as it's happening now, the timeless present. We cannot catch that wind to bottle it, to control it. We cannot even grasp it, it just falls through our fingers, like much of the things of the world. As we try to grasp our loved ones and possessions, we see them fading away in front of us. They fall through the gaps in the fingers, just like the wind. So we can let go of all these possessions, up here, one place above all, here in the Vulture's Peak. We come to the peakedness of the mind, the place when everything else falls below us, falls away, as we come to these great peaks of the mind where the Buddha lived. The Vulture's Peak is a simile for jhana, for the deep heights of the mind, the one-pointedness of the mind, when nothing is remaining, just the stillness, just the wind. This place is beautiful because there's no big cathedral built on here. This is very much as it was in the time of the Buddha. Because the Buddha could gain such deep meditations at this place, so can you. Because the Buddha could abandon in this place, he's left the current of abandoning, the flow of renunciation, just drifts around this area, allowing you to let go, at least for these few moments, of all your cares, of all worries, all past and future, of all possessions, all relations, all loved ones, all attachments. Allow them all to fade away. And then you'll be doing the best act of worship for a Buddha, for an enlightened one. Not just offering candles, incense, and flowers, but offering your defilements to be burnt away at the shrine of the Buddha's own enlightenment. Offering all of your pain and suffering to be washed away by the power of the Buddha's wisdom. To offering all your restlessness to be washed away, to be calmed by the stillness and peace of this holy place. Just let yourself be taken away. As thousands, millions before you who have come up to this Vulture's Peak also had their defilements and attachments and cravings taken away. In this place, many people attained supreme enlightenment. In this place, many saw the Dhamma. See if you can still the mind. Not to search for the Dhamma, but to open the mind and let the Dhamma come in. To let go, to abandon, to renounce, in order to get the greatest wealth in the world, the wealth of freedom. Open the mind and let the Dhamma come in. So if you'd like to just carry on meditating for half an hour, during this period of half an hour, I'd like to please ask everyone to keep absolutely quiet. Please, no talking, not even any whispering, out of respect for the Buddha. The dawn is coming up. The sunrise will be following shortly. This whole mountain complex is littered with caves, places where enlightened beings would live. There's all these stories which sometimes I tell up here. The monks and the nuns who had practiced diligently up here in this mountain. Sometimes people would see great lights on this vulture's peak of devas coming to visit the Buddha. And sometimes the king would say he thought there was forest fires up here on this mountain because it glowed so brightly. And the Buddha explained, "That was no forest fire, great king. That was the devas visiting me. The devas are the angels, the heavenly beings." And the word deva comes from the same root as deepa, a lamp, a light. It literally did mean shining beings, beings whose presence is always accompanied by a great light, a bright light. This is actually what the king would see up here. At other times, he would see smaller lights moving up on the mountains. These were the monks meditating or walking meditation, as they would around this whole area. You can imagine what it was like in the middle of the night to see these monks, always devoted to wakefulness, sleep a little, meditating a lot. This was our tradition, not just a tradition of monks studying books or just doing ceremonies or blessing houses, but monks who would be up here meditating day and night, just to find the Dhamma, to express the Dhamma, to express a life of peace and solitude, of utter simplicity, of being apart from the world, simple in their mind, quiet in their thoughts, peaceful and calm and wise. One of the monks who became enlightened even at the age of 7 years of age, Dabba. Dabba means the skillful one. Mala was his clan name, from the area around Kusinara. It was always like his story, because just at the age of 7, when he became a novice, his mind was so ready for enlightenment, as his hair was taken away, taken off his head, he realized that was a small act of renunciation, of letting go. Letting go of the world, of what he looked like, worrying about his form, his shape, his appearance. With that little bit of letting go, he could let go much more. And even at the age of 7, became fully enlightened. And he lived in this area around Rajagaha, lived in these mountains, and having become an arahat at such a young age of only 7, he decided to spend the rest of his life in service to the Sangha. And so the whole community of monks in this area around Rajagaha would give him the job, the task, the duty of arranging accommodation for the incoming monks. Whenever any monk would arrive in this area, they would go to Dabba Malaputta, this great monk, and ask to be assigned lodgings. Sometimes they would ask for the lodgings. And according to the stories, they would deliberately come late at night, because Dabba Malaputta had also developed the psychic power of making his finger glow in the dark. And they would come, and he would use that finger as a natural torch, a flashlight which needed no batteries, to guide these monks around these mountains, to the caves, to the grottos, to the places where they could meditate in silence. And they came especially to see Dabba Malaputta's glowing finger. And many things happened in this mountain peak. According to the story here, in the last year of the Buddha's life, he was at this peak here when his cousin Devadatta was trying to... That was a deva just then. We can have the lights later on. This was the area where his cousin tried to murder the Buddha by rolling a rock off this peak underneath which the Buddha was walking meditation. But the rock split in two. It hit another rock. You can see all these jagged rocks. When you try and roll a boulder off this peak, it would hit another rock and split in two. And the major part of the boulder missed the Buddha, but a small splinter just hit the Buddha's feet, and that was all. This happened here on this rock. It was also on this rock where the Buddha gave so many discourses, so many great teachings, where people would come up here to hear those teachings. It's up here in the Vulture's Peak where many of these stories happened. It's such a shame that in those days these hills would be crawling with monks, with great monks, with arahats, fully enlightened, and those on the path to enlightenment, all happening around this area. Now you can see the dawn is happening in the sky. A new day is coming. Hopefully with that dawn, with the dawn of seeing deeper dhammas, deeper understandings of what the Buddha saw. Understanding that there's nobody in here, there is no being inside of you, then there's nothing to attach onto. When there's no one who's attaching, when there's no one truly doing things, when there's no owner, how can there be things to own, to possess? Letting go, a non-self. Going together, allowing the wind to blow away all one's attachments. To allow impermanence, anicca. To show that it's futile to hold on to anything in this world. One's physical possessions, even one's mental possessions. And just like the wind, just stuff without an essence. As the mind blows backwards and forwards, there's something inside which stands absolutely still. See if I can go to that place of stillness. What doesn't get blown around by the wind? What never moves? The silence, the emptiness, the true reality inside of oneself. When one can let go of all those things which are moved, which are subject to change, which come and go, which are subject to suffering. If one holds on to things which are about to leave you, that's called suffering. Why do we do that? Can't we just be simple in our mind, still and peaceful, letting go of that which is worthy to be let go of, and understanding the peace and the tranquility of a Buddha? By letting go of attachments, one is letting go of much of oneself. By letting go of oneself, one is letting go of attachments. Letting go of this self, one is not controlling anymore. Letting things be, not being the one who tries to manipulate and change the world. Up here on top of this mountain, one sees just how one can't control the world. One can't stop the wind. One can't make the dawn come up any quicker, nor go up it slower. All one can do is just observe in silence, being at peace with the world, being at peace with nature. It is nature which runs this world, not you. So we let go and become at peace. Stop fighting, but making peace in our meditation, in our life, flowing with the rise and fall of things. When our loved ones come, when our loved ones depart, possessions come, possessions go. When our very life force starts to leave, we can let it go. With no attachments, no control, being at peace with life and death, letting go, being enlightened. Are there any questions or comments anyone would like to make? I think what I would like to do now, is now the dawn is up, is actually to proceed just down a little ways to the Boar's Cave, where Venerable Sariputta became enlightened. And there I'm going to read out a sutta, the sutta which enlightened the great monk Sariputta. For those of you who would prefer to meditate up here, you can please continue meditating up here. If you'd like to come down to the Boar's Cave with me, then please come down. It's just around the corner, and we can actually read out the Diganaka Sutta, where the Buddha became fully enlightened. Sariputta became fully enlightened.